Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So this morning I'm going to share the first 21 months of results from our ongoing NRCS-funded Edge of Field Water Quality Monitoring Project. I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Stephen Kramer, our Director of Lab Studies at the Miner Institute, Laura Kleiber, Research Technician, Charlie Hacker, Research Technician, and Casey Corrigan, a graduate student. So tile drains, I think everyone in this room is fairly familiar with the concept, and we have a lot of tile drains in our neck of the woods up in northern New York, and farmers make extensive use of tile drains on poorly drained agricultural fields. Also, they're widespread in Quebec and Ontario as well as Vermont. And we're up in the Lake Champlain Basin of Vermont, so phosphorus is definitely an issue. And we have reoccurring algae blooms. And so tile drains are a somewhat contentious issue in that neck of the woods. And so as we know, they offer many agronomic benefits, such as higher yields primarily on poorly drained soils. Also other agronomic benefits, such as less ponding and surface water runoff. So that should say surface runoff. And warmer soils, less compaction potential, so there's an extensive list of agronomic benefits. However, as you know, they can be a pathway for loss of both nitrogen and phosphorus from fields. So the objective for our study here was to measure nitrogen, phosphorus, and total suspended solids loading over the baseline period of our study, which is about 2 years. And here's a picture of our site. You can see we have a 1.9 hectare and a 3.3 hectare field. These are calcareous glacial till soils with very dense B and C horizons. And so the water tends to hang up in these fields. And mild slopes, 1% to 2% slopes on these fields. They're kind of separated here by, I guess my pointer doesn't work here. Oh, there it is. So they're separated by a series of ditches and berms, so they are hydrologically isolated. So tiles were installed in these fields in the fall of 2014 at a 1.2 meter depth and a 10.2 meter lateral spacing between tiles, oriented centrally north and south in both fields. So, as I mentioned, this study is a two-year baseline period where both fields are treated identically. And then following that, the smaller field, labeled T5 in this diagram, will have controlled subsurface drainage applied for the following 4 years. And then we'll monitor that after that. So some agronomic considerations. Both fields are managed as corn silage. They're in, since 2013. Their soil test phosphorus concentrations in the low to medium range. And we applied 112 kilograms per hectare of 23-12-18 at planting, both in 2016 and 2017. And about 90 kilograms per hectare of urea ammonium nitrate as a side dress for the corn. They've received a couple of manure applications, the first one being in early October 2015, and then another round of composted dairy manure application this following spring before planting. So just want to give you a sense of the nitrogen and phosphorus inputs relative to crop removal. So in 2016, if you add up the fertilizer and manure applications, 2016 we applied a very low amount of P2O5, about 15 kilograms per hectare, about 125 kilograms per hectare of plant available nitrogen. And that corn yield, apologize, that should be 11.8 megagrams of dry matter per hectare. So that was our average yield of the fields last year. So if you put numbers to that, we're removing around 70 kilograms per hectare of P2O5 and around 132 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen last year. And so this year, you can see our phosphorus and plant available nitrogen inputs. However, we just harvested the field about a week and a half ago, so I don't have the removals for that. And you can see our assumptions here for phosphorus removal. We used Cornell recommendations of 0.62% P2O5 on a dry matter basis, and then the corn averaged about 7% crude protein, and so that's what we used for to calculate the nitrogen removal. And I'll just say that our N inputs here do not include inputs from soil organic matter. So real quick, overview of our surface water instrumentation on the site. You can see we have H flumes. These are fiberglass pre-calibrated flumes, one in each field. The surface water runoff is directed to a series of ditches in each field and then routed to the flumes. And we are doing flow-based sampling as per NRCS guidelines, and we're sampling about 200 milliliters for every 0.7 millimeters of runoff. We're using ISCO water samplers, you can see up there, and the flow module. And so basically we just need to know, I'm losing my pointer here again, the height in this stilling well here, which we're getting from the ultrasonic sensor here. And then we also have a hobo data logger as a backup, which has come in handy. So we have backup if one fails. And you can see we're monitoring total suspended solids, total nitrogen, nitrate, nitrogen, ammonium N, total phosphorus, and soluble reactive P or orthophosphate. So this is a shot of inside one of our manholes where we're monitoring subsurface tile flow. These are 4-foot diameter traffic grade manholes, and they drain out with an 8-inch diameter pipe into a 1,000 gallon tank that's pumped. And we are sampling every 15 minutes for flow, also for the surface as well. So we came up with this barrel modified with a V-notch weir, and it seems to be working very well for us to quantify flow. Here are our tile drain flow curves. As I mentioned, the flumes are pre-calibrated, so we're good there with the flow equations, but we had to build our own flow equations here for subsurface flow, and you can see we got pretty nice fits for both fields, and so we're pretty happy about that and pretty confident that we are accurately estimating subsurface flows with these equations. So here's some data. This is actually surface and subsurface discharge, so disregard the title there, a little typo. So on the left y-axis, we have surface discharge in cubic feet per second, and on the second y, we have tile discharge. And so kind of hard to see, but the red line is the tile discharge, and the blue is the surface. And one thing I'll just point out here is you can see we have a fairly continuous record, including during the wintertime. So you can see the tiles run almost continuously in this field. So as I mentioned, they're fairly deep, 1.2 meters. We have a shallow groundwater table there. But they really pretty much ran right through the winter, both winters so far. You can see in September 2016 here, we had a dry spell there, and they actually ceased to flow. But other than that, they've been more or less continuously flowing. And you can see how they're kind of coincide with the surface discharge events. This is for the larger field, which I'm referring to as T9, kind of same pattern here. Lots of flow right through the early spring, late fall, and winter as well. So moving into some data here. So these plots are looking at the cumulative phosphorus load as a function of cumulative runoff. And you can see here at the top left, we have surface runoff phosphorus losses for the field T5, and then to the right of that we have the other field. So one thing to notice is fairly similar pattern in terms of total phosphorus loss and surface runoff. You can see a little bit difference in the soluble reactive P. Field T9 has a little bit lower cumulative soluble reactive P loss compared to the smaller field. And below each of these graphs, you can see the total suspended solids loads, or you can think of that as erosion from the fields, which seem to be reflecting the total phosphorus pattern. So as you might expect, right, we learned that most phosphorus loss from fields is through particulate P loss or erosion, and that seems to be the pattern that we're observing so far in this study. So here, taking a look at tile drainage, notice the drop in the total amount leaving the field as export. So whereas the graphs on the other page here, we're going up to one here, we're maxing out at 0.5 here, and we're still very low. So compared to surface runoff, with respect to phosphorus, we're losing much, much less phosphorus through the tile drainage system compared to surface runoff here. You can also see we are seeing some TSS load in the tile drains, but not nearly to the extent that we're seeing in the surface runoff. So taking a quick look at nitrogen patterns here. So the top is nitrogen and surface runoff. So the black and red is the total nitrogen, and the open circles would be nitrate nitrogen. So one thing to note here in the surface runoff, we actually have a fair amount of difference between the total nitrogen export and the nitrate nitrogen export. And so we're actually seeing a fair bit of organic nitrogen export in the surface runoff, as opposed to what we're seeing exported in the tile drains is mostly all nitrate nitrogen, which is probably not a big surprise to a lot of you. But you can see we are losing a fair bit of nitrogen, nitrate nitrogen in these fields. And so definitely, so far it seems that the patterns that we're observing are kind of what we might expect here. So the nitrogen is leaching to tile drains for the most part, and phosphorus is leaving in the form of surface runoff. Okay, so adding some of these numbers up and kind of putting it into perspective. So if we take a look at runoff here in millimeters per year, hopefully my little pointer is very temperamental. So here we are. So you can see that most of the runoff, field T5, is leaving through the tile drainage system. Same pattern for the larger field. Most is going through the tile system. And you can see here in the bottom with the bolded letters, I lost my pointer again. This is just the ratio of surface to tile. Okay, so that's what that bottom number is. So SRP is that soluble reactive P. One thing to note here is that, like we saw in the graphs, we have a little bit more SRP export in the smaller field, but compared to tile drainage, we're not losing a lot of that soluble reactive P. Most of that is coming off of the surface. And the same pattern with total phosphorus. Most of that phosphorus seems to be leaving in surface runoff. Same pattern with total suspended solids. Whereas nitrogen is kind of the opposite story, right? The total nitrogen and nitrate nitrogen is mainly leaving in the form of tile drainage from the site. Okay, so just taking a look at the flow weighted mean concentrations. So on the top we have the surface, and on the bottom we have the tile drain. So you can see that smaller field again has a little bit higher flow weighted mean concentration. So if you're not familiar with the concept of flow weighted mean concentrations, right, that's just multiplying the concentration or the load by the total volume, concentration by the total volume, right? So it's basically a way to look at the average concentration over the monitoring period. And so one thing to point out again is look how low the concentrations are for the tile drain compared to the surface runoff. Same with the total phosphorus. So these are well below eutrophication levels in tile drains, whereas the surface runoff here, we're approaching sort of that area of concern that EPA would be concerned about in terms of phosphorus loss to flowing waters. And even though the soil test P levels and the manure inputs have been fairly minimal at this site. You can see for total nitrogen, again, the US EPA, 1 minute, is 10 milligrams per liter, so we are below that in the tile drains. Okay, so quick summary. Our data is showing the importance of year-round monitoring, for sure, that field hydrology is the key driver here of nutrient loss. The phosphorus seems to be leaving mainly in the form of surface runoff and erosion, nitrogen through the tile system, leaching. I think our data points to the importance of use of a cover crop to minimize some of that particulate P loss, as well as remove some of the nitrogen prevent that from leaching, which a lot of studies in the Midwest have shown. And so, as I said, this fall we're going to be implementing the subsurface drainage control system, and we're really interested to see how that affects the hydrology and also the patterns of N&P loss from the field. So with that, I'd like to thank our funders, and thank you for your attention.